in Christ. Did God amaze you? Perhaps that's not quite the right way to ask the question. Does God ever cease to amaze you? If so, I think I would question whether you understand basically even yourself or even something basic about God. Does God ever cease to amaze you? I don't have in mind thinking about those mind-boggling attributes of God, that metaphysical concept of the deity of God, or even that divine omnipotence of God, whereby he spoke in detail that way, and all made a cosmic and ordered universe. That omnipotence of God, which operates in nature, enables him, as it were, simply to settle the maw of a volcano on its spiky rises, miles into the sky, sneezes off the side of a mountain, spits mud over the countryside. I'm not even thinking of that omnipresence and omniscience of God, because which I cannot outdistance on the wings of the morning, that omnipresence from which I cannot escape, even if I rise up into heaven or descend into hell. What am I thinking of? I'm thinking of God's amazing dealing with you and me as sinners. If God should be angry and put out at me that I violate his will, I understand that. And when I continue to let him down, he should become enraged and implacably angry. I can understand that. That is why I am still looking at God caring for me. Why I'm still rebelling against him that he should send his son to suffer and to die for me. That kind of God is simply too good to be for real. And I find it difficult to believe in it. I say, even as I say, nothing in my hand, I bring a feeling. I tend to sort of want something tucked away in my back pocket, like a list of good deeds, just in case. And when finally, by comparing myself with those flaming flamboyant sinners, I pretty well persuaded myself that I'm not so bad after all. Then away comes the theologian, it is a stating question. And he asks this, what would you think of someone who says, I think he's not the greatest doctor in all the world, but the fellow that is sick? Now, what is God going to think of me? Well, I go around saying, I got simply the greatest God in the world. Well, the quintessential definition of my God is, God is one. Here I have a way of being meaningful, touching, and unloving. And yet, this amazing God, concerning whom we ask whether it seems to be in a state of loving, this God has cared for us. He comes with a remedy, a countervailing remedy in Christ Jesus. And I am in parable. That constitutes our text. This is made graphic and plain to us. Our Lord then has a way of explaining his marvelous ways and his amazing nature. But he's terrible. That's a great help. I think we all love the terrible. But have you ever thought that there's a sort of a truth in the way we read the terrible? Here are these comparisons to earthly going events. And you're tempted very often to say, but that is perfect. Naturally, God would be like that. His ways, his being is so analogous to our own. That's the real parable, it's a misreader. And even in this parable, I think there is tucked away in it a little bit of a surprise. Now, if a recent German commentator, theologian, has suggested that they're trying to get this amazing, the surprise feature of a parable out before us, by recasting the parable in the form of what they call an anti-likeness, an anti-parable. Let's just try that briefly without parable and see whether that helps us to see something of the amazing nature of God as that boy and depicted in this text. Well, what do you think? A man had 100 sheep, he lost one. And he said, well, I lost one, but I better get these 99 down into the safety of the valley before I lose any more. I then stayed down safely to the valley floor, and then he rather congratulates himself and says, well, my God, I made it. I lost only one sheep, and I've got the 99. Now, isn't there a sort of logic in that kind of thinking of a shepherd? What do you think of someone if he loses one out of 100 or something, and then he looks more to be anxious and angry about it? Then we wonder about him a little bit. What about him and could wonder is a God who cares. I'm not too conservative. I would say if you had to wander off and get lost in the wilderness. The Lord Jesus Christ bothered about maybe went out into that wilderness of sin where he was torn by thorns, pierced by nails, and finally done to death. But on the third day he emerged in shining victory. For me, for you, as individually. What a marvelous and wonderful thought. And now, that Lord who cares about us is that amazing shepherd. He doesn't simply reverberate across the heaven. Oh, you say, oh, down there, I've got forgiveness for you. No, he comes down. He comes to us individually. The seven words. He says, my body and my blood. Given and shed for you. Great joy in heaven. Let there be joy on earth. And there will be if you cease not to be amazed. And the peace of God which surpasses all understanding will keep your hearts and minds before Jesus. Amen.
Good morning once again, boys and girls. Good.